midst this morning. And God, we ask that as we read your perfect and infallible word this morning, that you would illumine our hearts and minds the way that you illumined John's mind when you gave to him this perfect and infallible word. God, we love you so much. We want to learn how you would have us to unwrap this wonderful gift that you have given to us as we offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer. In and through the name of our risen Lord and Master, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Wow. Another Christmas in the books, right? I mean, when y'all come back in here next Sunday morning, all of this stuff's going to be gone. Okay? Where Angie and I lived in Newport before we came here, our next door neighbor was one of those that generally by the time Angie and I got out of bed, we didn't have a child then. Okay, by the time Angie and I got out of bed on Christmas morning, he already had his tree out in the ditch. Okay? Yeah, Christmas is over. Get it out of here. Undo the decorations. Put them up. We're done. Okay? We're not quite that fast. How many of y'all left gifts that have your name on it unwrapped under the tree? Let's not run past that too quick. See, on Christmas morning, you've got one of three options. When you come to where your Christmas tree is, and you find a gift with a tag attached to it, you can read the tag, see that the gift is for you, unwrap it, and enjoy it. Or you can tear the paper and take a peek, but leave the gift alone because it's not what you expected or what you hoped for. Brother Lou was telling me his nephew, Mom and Dad gave the kids a trip to Disney World for Christmas. And so they wrapped the tickets in a different box. And at 3 a.m., now, I don't know what I'd be doing unwrapping a present at 3 a.m., okay? But at 3 a.m., the little boy unwraps this box, and it's like, you know, I don't know what it was, but think that maybe it was a toaster box, and he's going, I don't need a toaster, so he puts it aside. But do you understand? The tickets for Disney World were inside that box. Okay? And so you could look at that box and say, this is not something that I want. It's not something that I need, and cast it aside. Or you can leave the package under the tree, untouched, because you didn't read the tag. And nobody told you that the gift was for you. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that one, but let me make that one abundantly clear to you, beloved. That's missions. Okay? That's missions. They haven't read the Bible because they don't understand that it's God's love letter to them. All right? We'll preach on that a little bit later. Now, as I mentioned, I don't normally read from the New Living Translation for my sermons. I do read multiple translations. I will read several translations to see which one captured the essence of what that text is saying so that we can understand it better. Even in a translation like the New Living Translation, that is a paraphrase. Understand that. Any of the living Bibles are not word-for-word translations. They're paraphrases. It would be like if you went to a country where football means football. A ball that you kick with your foot and you don't touch the ball with any other part of your body. And you were trying to read the rules to American football to them, you would paraphrase them, right? You would put them in terms that they understood, that they could relate to. And so that's what a paraphrase is doing. But I love the way that the New Living Translation translated these verses. Do you understand why? Because it's helping us to understand, listen to me, it is helping us understand that on this last night that Jesus spent on earth, he is giving his disciples a gift. He is giving them a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. See, beloved, no matter how hard we try, we cannot give ourselves nor anyone else the gift that Jesus is telling us that he's giving to us. I have never seen a time in our nation that was more contentious than it is right now. People are at one another's throats over things they ought not be at one another's throats about. Everything seems to be a hill on which to die. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. When I'm counseling your children in premarital counseling, I will talk to them about things that are hills worth dying on. Okay. And let me tell you something. There's not a whole lot that's worth dying over. And there's certainly not a lot that's worth killing your marriage over. But we're living in a time where everybody wants to fight about everything. Why? Because they don't have this peace of mind and heart that Jesus says he's giving to us. Now, how do you get that? Verse 26. The Holy Spirit. And I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm not saved. Now, I understand that there are several groups that will teach that if I'm not speaking in tongues, I don't have the Holy Spirit. That's a whole other sermon, then we can talk about that. But first you got to define what tongues is and how they're used in the Bible. And then we can talk about whether tongues are a sign of salvation or not. But we're not going to get into that this morning. We're going to get into the fact of what Paul says in Galatians 5. Y'all remember that? The fruit of the Spirit. See, a lot of us go through there and we read those and we say, you know what? I wish the Lord had given me this gift of peace, that God had given to me this gift of joy, this gift of whatever. Listen to me, Galatians 5, they didn't know this was going to be in there. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, let me tell you something, beloved. When I read that list that Paul just gave to us, did you hear me use the word or? At any point during that, did you hear me say that the fruit of the Spirit is love or joy or peace? No, that's not what I said. And it's not what the Word says. The Word says the fruit of the Spirit are all of these things operating in our lives. Love and joy. Listen, beloved, you don't have love. Y'all know why? Because you're kicking against the goads and you're not letting the Holy Spirit take control of your heart. You don't have joy in your life. Again, you're kicking against the goads and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of your heart. You don't have peace. Jesus said in our text that we're looking at this morning that I'm giving to you my peace. Now, Jesus was in tall cotton when he said that, wasn't he? No. He is moments away from being betrayed with a kiss by one of his closest friends. He is hours away from being beaten within an inch of his life and then nailed to a Roman cross. And he knows that. And yet Jesus can say, I'm giving to you my peace. I'm okay with what's going to happen. Patience. Let's just move on past that one. I ain't got time to fool with it. Yeah. That's my life. I tell you what. That's the one me and the Holy Spirit have to talk about the most. Is patience. And kindness. And goodness. And faithfulness. And gentleness. And self-control. We'll preach more on that later. Anyway. I've wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy in my own life trying to create peace within my heart by creating better circumstances. Hadn't we all? Hadn't we all? I mean, we think that we'll have more peace in our lives if we make more money. We think that we'll have more peace in our lives if we buy a boat. We think we have, and by the way, preachers hate to see somebody in the church buy a boat. Okay? You know why? Because during the summer, they're going to be out on the lake on the weekends in that boat. That's another sermon too. Anyway. We sometimes think, if only I could force a painful situation to resolve itself. If only I could help one of my children make different choices. If only I could achieve that thing I've been working to accomplish. If only my loved one would experience restored health. If only I could stop feeling like a failure, then finally I would have peace. Are you here this morning with one of those issues on your heart? Are you listening to the Word of God this morning with one of those issues on your heart? Beloved, Jesus is teaching us something entirely different here. Peace isn't something that we can create in our own lives through different circumstances. Peace is a gift given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The world cannot give it to you. The world cannot give you the kind of peace that Jesus wants to give. You see, beloved, when you believe in the finished work of Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension on your behalf. See, we're not just talking about historical facts here. Y'all know I love to read history. And y'all know that when I'm looking to find a new cable provider, if the History Channel is not in my package, I'm not interested. All right? I want to watch the History Channel. But history doesn't save you. History doesn't make you right with God. All history does is shows you the mistakes that you've made in your past. Just affirming the facts that Jesus was born, that He lived, that He died, that He resurrected, and that He ascended, that's a good starting place. But until you say, He did that for me, you're not saved. You've got to understand that He did it on your behalf so that the Holy Spirit that He's talking about in verse 26, can take up residence within your hearts. Do you understand? that you are home to the Holy Spirit. You understand that? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is the earnestness of the Father in your salvation? He lives within you. He works in your behalf. He manifests His peace in your pain and your anxiety and your fear. And He wants you to unwrap that Christmas gift. You know, this text, as I said, is one we usually use at funerals. Jesus is getting these men ready. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the next 12 to 15 hours in His life look like. He knows what it holds. If you don't think that's true, then why did He pray in Gethsemane, "Father, if you can take this cup from me, take it. But if there's no other way, then thy will be done." He knew what was going to happen. And He knew what would happen to these men. And He's preparing them to carry on His ministry. But you see, we're missing something critical here. You know, one of our family traditions is sometime in the week before Christmas, Adam and I will go out together on a father-son shopping trip. Now, y'all know, and Angie knows very well, that I don't shop. I go to the store to get something. Okay? So if you're at the store shopping, if you would kindly get out of my way, I will get what I came for and then get out of your way so that you can continue shopping. Okay? Anyway, on that day, Adam and I go shopping. Because we don't really know what we're looking for. It's just a good day of fellowship for us to spend together. And we go out and we buy these presents for Angie. And when I come home, I try to misdirect her, get her attention on something else while I bring those bags in the house so that she won't have any clue where we've been. Do you understand? Let me give you a minute to catch up. Adam and I know what's in those bags. We know what's in those bags. Angie does not. She does not know what she's about to receive. Do you understand? In John 14, Jesus has gone Christmas shopping. He knows what He's about to give to the disciples, but they don't. He knows what it is. But they and we have no idea. Now, what if Adam and I put all of those presents under the tree, and Angie came in and she saw them, and then she just turned her attention to something else and left all of that wonderful stuff unwrapped under the tree, when we know that there's something in those bags that would bless her? Do you understand the parallel I'm trying to draw here, beloved? God has brought Jesus into our lives, but so often we leave Him wrapped. We don't want Him interfering in our lives. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a pretty big gift, beloved. That's an amazing gift. Have you ever given a gift to someone, and when they opened it, you could tell they just weren't into it? For some reason, whatever reason, they didn't like it. Wasn't something they wanted. Luke 2:7. And she gave birth to her firstborn. Her firstborn son. Now, for our Catholic friends, they would argue differently. Okay? But how many of y'all would think it very strange if I said, you know, I'd like you to meet my firstborn child, Adam? Y'all know that's strange, right? Because I've only got one. Okay? Now, several of y'all could do that. You could introduce somebody as your firstborn because there are more at home. But for me, there aren't. This is one of those proofs that Mary had more children. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God wrapped up his son and gave him to us as a present. And our reaction was, meh. We just weren't that into him because he was demanding too much change in our lives. Luke 2, 15 through 20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Now, notice, I hadn't included the angels in this yet. I hadn't included the angels' reaction to the birth of Jesus because, after all, they're angels, right? That's kind of their job, is to praise Jesus, to praise him for who he is. Look at how the first recipients of the gift responded. The shepherds had a visit from the angels. Have you ever had that? I mean, I was out prayer driving for a little while yesterday. The Lord just got a hold of my heart. And I literally was weeping as I was driving down the road praying for various people. And I just felt like I'd be able to turn over and speak face to face to the Lord that he was sitting in the seat in the car with me. That's another sermon. Let me tell you what happened. The angel, or the shepherds, saw somebody that really loved God praising him. And they couldn't help but do the same thing. They couldn't help but do what they had seen someone else do in praising God. Luke 2, 13 and 14. Now we'll talk about the angels. And suddenly, I want you to notice something. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Do you understand why I emphasize those words? In the beginning, there was an angel. And he was getting his praise on. He was praising God for what God was doing in this gift that had just been given to humanity. And the other angels were watching that and they said, Oh no, he doesn't. No, we're going to go down there and we're going to get our praise on too. We're going to go down there and we're going to praise God. We're going to raise our voices to God. We're going to give God the glory and the honor for what he's doing. Back on point, and we're done. We have Jesus. Isn't that enough? He has been. He is wrapped in cloths. Now what? You know, we've all gone through a pretty rough year and a half. And I don't think any of us want that back. But listen to me. We going to let that ruin our life? We going to let that dictate our life? Are we going to leave the most precious gift that God has ever given unwrapped? And I don't mean just a little bit. See, most of us have got just enough Jesus to make us feel good about ourselves. But we're not into that raising hands and all of that other stuff. People might think that we'd got religion if we did that. Beloved, the Christ child is laid for you in the manger. Once again, Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. He's shown us. He wrapped his gift for us. Luke 2:7, we just looked at. John 20, verses 5 through 9. Look at this one. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there. Jesus was wrapped up at his birth. Jesus was wrapped up at his death. But he is not wrapped anymore, because he doesn't need those wrappings. Last word, Romans 8:32. No, that's Psalm, Romans 8:32. See, they thought I was serious when I said the last word. That's my last scripture quotation. You know what it means when a preacher says, "And finally," right? About 10 more minutes, right? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Do you understand what God is saying to you, beloved? God's already given to us Jesus. He's given Jesus to us as the greatest gift that humankind has ever known. But what carries us through, listen to me, what carries us through is unwrapping the present that God wants to give to you. If you leave him wrapped up, he's not going to do you any good. Let me paraphrase that last verse. What do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? See, beloved, will you unwrap the gift? Now we're at the Psalm reference. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Understanding that, beloved, is unwrapping the gift. Will you unwrap the gift this morning?